All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are faithful. Lord, you're so faithful that it's inscribed in your thigh, faithful and true. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. We count on it without realizing, Lord, that you are faithful. So, Lord, we come before you tonight with our requests, knowing that you are faithful and that you hear our requests, and we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, concerning Crystal, that she would respond, Lord, so that Jeannie will hear from her and will know that all is well. We pray that you would guide her, Lord, in the decisions that she has to make and in the transference, Lord, to another area, that you would keep her and direct her paths, Lord, help her to find a place, not just to stay, but a place where she can fit in, Lord, of a church to go to, saints to be with, friends that can be with her and nurture her along, Lord, and a job and safety, Lord. Keep your hand upon her, Lord, and bless her. And bless Jeannie, Lord. Help her to be able to commit all these things to you, Lord, so that she would hear from you and have no cause for alarm, Lord. And now, Lord, we pray that your blessing would be upon each one of us tonight, that you would give us words to speak, Lord, that are spirit and truth, and that we would have hearts that can hear the things that you are saying, Lord, because I believe you are speaking to your church. I believe you're speaking to us both individually and collectively, as well as the church and collectively, Lord. And we pray that we might be able to make clear all of those things and those distinctions, Lord, so that we would know how to serve you gladly and with joy, faithfully, and with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pray you bless each one. Lord, now we pray, be with us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Leslie, is that Rebecca up there? Okay, not Poltergeist, folks. It's Rebecca up there moving furniture around in the... Here? Okay. Now, tonight, before I get into what I want to say, I want to say what I want to say. How's that sound? Before I get into what I want to say, I want to say what I want. I feel that the Lord has put a burden on my heart, and I want to share it with you. And this is my specialty. Okay, you ready? This is my specialty. I'm good at narrowing things down. I like simplicity. That's how my brain works. Okay, and so I don't know how to spell, but I do know how to single things down. All right. So now we listened to our Foursquare president. We just came back from the local. Each fall, each spring, you know, we go to the national convention, and we go to the national convention, Lisa and I, and often the Thompsons, and sometimes just Audrey, but we go to the national convention, and that happens to be different places throughout the country. But each fall, they have a conference for the local pastors, and it's always local. And I don't always go because fall is usually the time of the year that there's too much work. Okay, in construction. And as you know, those of you that have been in the slightest bit paying any attention to any news, construction is really slow. So I didn't think it would really hurt anything a whole lot if I went this year. So we just came back. It was up in Van Nuys. And for those of you who know, Van Nuys happens to be the location of Church on the Way, which I don't think is the name of it any longer. I think it's got another name. It's similar to Church on the Way, but I don't think it's Church on the Way. I think it's... But anyway, whatever it is. Life in the Way, something like that. But anyway. But if any of you happen to know that name, then you happen to know why that name is known. Did that make sense? Good. Because Jack Hayford has been the pastor in past times for many years, pastor of Church on the Way, okay? He's no longer the pastor of Church on the Way, by the way. For those of you who are not up to speed, he is the president of the Foursquare, and Jim Toole is the pastor of Church on the Way in Van Nuys, okay? That was our first time we went there, and Lisa was very sweet to me. The place that we stayed was a motel that's right next to the Van Nuys Airport. And the Van Nuys Airport is the largest private airport in the country, okay? And for most people, whatever. But I like airplanes, and so she got me a view to the airport, so I could see the Gulf Streams and the Lear jets and whatever else those things are that I don't even know the names of them, but they were coming and going at a fairly regular clip, and it was great fun for someone like myself. It would have been a lot more fun if I'd have known every one of those planes, but I didn't have John Keller along. I'm sure he would have known. He's a friend of mine from work. All right? And so Jack spoke to us about this very topic. Isn't that neat? Lisa and I have felt very strongly. She mentioned it Sunday in Burden Bearers, and I'm mentioning it again tonight. I was planning on mentioning it tonight from last week, okay? I already had anticipation to speak to you about expectation, okay? But lo and behold, the very president of the Foursquare International spoke to us on expectation. Now, he gave you the hour and some minutes version of it, and you'd have to get that tape in order to hear how you can take a few words and extend them on for an hour and some minutes. He's an excellent speaker, and you have to pay attention because he doesn't use any dime words. They're all at least a quarter or 50 cents or more. Okay, so you have to keep up with it. And he's very articulate. That's what we call people like that. We call them articulate. Okay, I'm not. I am on the maybe third to sixth grade level. Okay, sorry. I don't mean to insult any of you here, but that's just me. Okay. The nice thing about being on the third to sixth grade level is if you speak overseas, it's easily understood. And when you use smaller words, it's easier for the translators to translate. And if you kind of slow upstairs, it's easy to stop and let them translate. And if you're used to doing things like this on the board, instead of having all those fancy things that you deal like that, that works in some remote areas, okay. There are a lot of places that I've been to that are fancy, okay. It's not like they're not fancy. Matter of fact, some of those places are fancier than we are. And I have a friend in the Philippines who's very expert at presentations and stuff. Matter of fact, every time they have a big event when they have big events in Manila and they need a good sound man or a special effects man, they have him, your Connie's brother-in-law, Raul. Raul is expert at these sort of things. Okay, this is my speed, okay? Worked great in Bulan, though. So, you girls never been to Bulan, have you? You don't even know where Bulan is, do you? Nope, see? They don't even know where Bulan is. That's okay. It's down at the very bottom of Luzon, down the very bottom, and there's a little, it comes way down, you go down to Legazpi, you know where Legazpi is, Mayamun? Okay, down south of that, down the bottom. Okay, just before you go into, what is it, Visaya? Yeah, just before you cross, we crossed the creek over there and we went into Visaya, okay. Masbate we went into. Okay, so that's where Bulan is. I loved it down there in Bulan. It's very nice. Okay. Expectation. And this is it. This is what I feel that God wants us to say. And it's been confirmed now by none other than Jack Hayford. Most of you heard Jack Hayford. Okay, most of you, those of you who haven't. He's very well respected in all of Christendom as a man who hears from God, okay? So I feel really good about the fact that I think I'm hearing from God. Okay. All right. I did anyway. But anyway, Nobody caught that. expectation. And this is it. I've prayed, Lord, how will I present this? Because I could bash you all over the head and that would not be appropriate. Or I could plead with you, or I could say it in very elaborate terms and you'd all come away going, wow, that was neat. What did he say? I'm not sure. I don't want to do that either. I want to instill in us, okay, us, the Tuesday night people, I want to instill something in us, okay? And this is only going to be from the Lord. I'm convinced the Lord is saying this, all right? So I'm not going to try to convince you that the Lord is saying it. I'm convinced he's saying it. What I'm going to do is try and instill in you what the Lord is saying so that the Lord can work that into our hearts also, okay? And that's a sense of expectation, okay? Expectation. What is our expectation when we come here? Remember when the lady came a few weeks back and the Lord had spoken to me? And one of the things the Lord had said to me was this lady did not come here to be prayed for. Okay? You get the significance of that? She did not come here to be prayed for. She came because she wanted to see. Do you know there's a huge difference, particularly if you're blind, between being prayed for and seeing? Huge. If she came here to be prayed for, she wouldn't have been disappointed. We had prayed for her and she'd have gone back out blind. But she didn't come here to be prayed for. She came here with the expectation that God had spoken to her and said, if you go to a Pentecostal church, I'll forgive you of your sins and you will receive your sight. What was her expectation? That God was going to forgive her sins and receive her sight. Now, bear in mind, receiving sight is something you can verify. Forgiving sins is kind of hard to verify. But if you get your sight, what can you bet on the sin part? Remember what Jesus said? What's is easier, guys? To forgive a guy his sins or to say, be healed? Which is easier? Neither one of us can, none of us can do either one of those things. So what's the big deal, guys? Why are you all upset? Because I said, your sins be forgiven you. Only God can do that. Of course only God can do that. Only God can heal people too, P.S. Mm-hmm. Right? So she went out of here. I can guarantee you her expectation was when she left about her sins was that they were forgiven. Okay? What's our expectation? Well, this is the part that's tough for me. Because what I think our expectation is, we're coming to a meeting. And it should be, we're going to have an exchange with God. And I would submit to you that it's as different as being prayed for and seeing.
I heard that. They're talking about what's going to happen. Oh, this person's going to speak. I was like, whoa. You're expecting a person to speak. You're not expecting miracles. You're not expecting God to do anything. We have failed.
Yeah, exactly. We have, did you catch that on the overhead? Mark's good at doing like I do. He likes to bring things down to the nutshell. Okay, if our expectation is to have a meeting, it's like the lady being prayed for. Big deal. She'd go anywhere to do that. We can go anywhere to have a meeting. Why bother? Unless we just like each other, and that's nice. We all like each other. Isn't that nice? Yeah. But it goes a long way. It falls really short of what's necessary to make it through the days that are ahead. Okay? When Jesus had a group of people, a large group, it says there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So it's a good guess that it was at least 15,000 people. And they didn't use birth controls back in those days, so there probably was more. 15,000 people. That's a big group. I've been in groups that are bigger. Okay? I've been in a few stadium ball games, 35,000 people. Things, Christian events. I have this one in Kansas City. I think there were 70,000 of us. Okay? So big groups, okay. But this was a big group out there in the outback part of Israel. And when they got together and he had spoken to them and they were hungry, what was Jesus' expectation? We know what his expectation, because the scripture tells us, knowing what he was going to do, right? When he asked the disciples, gentlemen, do we have anything to feed these people? Remember the little clause in there? You know, I didn't look up the scripture because I thought we would remember the little clause in there. Where's the feeding of the 5,000? It was one in Matthew and one in Luke, and I don't know which one has the little clause. Which one of you? You got Matthew, so it's probably Luke. Luke 9. That must not be it. It must be the 4,000. Because I'm almost positive there's that little statement that it says Jesus knew what he was going to do. Do you have the 4,000 in Luke? The 4,000 is in Luke. Nope, I didn't find it. Anyway, when Jesus asked the disciples, give them something to eat, what was the disciples' expectation? They have no food. Right? It's just a meeting. We don't have enough food. We don't. What did they say? If, you know, if we had a whole year's worth of money, whole year's worth of money to buy food, we still couldn't buy enough food for this group? 15,000 people, that's a handful of McDonald's. Okay. But what was Jesus' expectation? Yes.
To do his Father's will.
Yes, it was to do the Father's will. And did Jesus have an idea what that was? It's in John? There it is. Of course it would be in John. Where do we buy bread for this, that these may eat? And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. All right, now this is part of the part that troubles me, but I'm with you, okay? Listen to me. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. I'm trying to say something. I'm aware when we talk to each other, when the pastor speaks to us, or when I speak to you, and our words don't go anywhere. We hear them. We're not even sure if we actually hear them. They just kind of bounce around the room like when you play pinball. The words just kind of bounce around the room because we're programmed not to hear things that bring us into the uncomfortable realm of the supernatural. We're programmed to avoid this. You hear me? We're programmed to avoid this. And when we come to that, what happens to us is we fall into passivity. Passivity is, when I say passivity, what we think of, oh, that's a very bad negative term. And that just means that I'm not really care, that I don't care enough, and I really do care. So it can't be me. He's not really talking about me because that's a bad and negative term. No, no. Passivity is this, okay? When do we know what God is saying right now? Because if we don't have a clue, that's passivity. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. He wasn't wondering. He had more than a clue. You and I don't have a clue. That's passivity. That's where we are. It's not a condemnation, but it's like the drunk. Until the drunk can say, I am a drunk, he's never going to go down the road to recovery. The first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem. And our first step has to be we are in passivity because we don't have a clue. And we should. We should know precisely what we're about to do. Okay? Jesus knew precisely what he was going to do. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
For he himself knew what he was intending to do. Jesus wasn't wondering. He was delighted. Wow, I got about 20,000 people out here and nobody brought lunch. It's a great day to show them the love of the Father. It's a great day for demonstration. Show and tell. How many of us ever did show and tell in school? Remember show and tell days? That takes you back, doesn't it? But we enjoyed it, don't we? It brings a smile to your face, doesn't it? Because we enjoyed show and tell. Everybody enjoys show and tell. Listen, the gospel ought to be show and tell. Like you said, Mark, we're way off. We're missing it altogether. There's nothing to show.
It's all tell.
Let me talk you all into believing that God can do these things. Let me talk you into it now. You've never seen it, and I can't do it, but let me talk you into it. And we all go, when's he going to be done? Right? It's passivity. We've been programmed. We've been programmed. All right? And what I'm contending for is that we, first admit we have a problem. That our expectation when we come is that we're going to a meeting. And not only that, but our expectation is that we're going to be fed. Right? Not what you come to a meeting for, that we're going to be fed. Let me take you to a verse that you know, but you won't like. Let's go to Luke 17. And pray with me, because this is not easy. Because like I said, I'm in this with you. Okay? But God is speaking to us, and I think he wants a correction. He wants us to change. Now, here's the hard part. Here's the difference between passivity and what God wants. We're going to have to break out of the mold, and it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to put forth a bit of an effort. It won't just happen. It won't fall out of heaven onto us. Got it? Oh, I didn't give you a verse. I'm sorry. 17:7-10. You've heard the statement. You've read this before. You've heard it before, right? Oh, I'm sorry. It's coming. There it is. 7-10. But which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, got it? What are we doing? Hello? Anybody with me? I'm up on the screen here, okay? All right, okay. And I'm in the very first verse, and I'm at the very first line, okay? What are we doing? We're slaves, okay? Right? So is that talking about us? We should be bond slaves, right? Okay. And we're doing what? Plowing or tending sheep, right? In the ministry. We're working, right? Right? Okay. We're industrious. Slaves doing the good, right thing, right? Everybody not at the appropriate place. Okay. We'll say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately, sit down and eat. We came together tonight to be fed. Amen? Oh, but. What does but mean? It's not the expectation. But will he not say to him, that is he, being our Lord, say to us, the slaves, what will he say? Prepare something for me to eat. How many came tonight prepared to give him something to eat? Or did we even think about it? Or is he hungry? I mean, geez, Lord, I didn't know you were hungry. You like cheese on your McDonald's? kind of hits you in the gut, doesn't it? No, we don't come thinking this way, do we? I don't, you don't, we don't. But what's he saying? But will he not say to them, prepare something for me to eat? Oh, that's kind of tough. That's different. Expectation. Secondly, properly clothe yourself. Oh, tone. I mean, this is a bit much. Not only is he expecting something to eat, but we have to properly clothe ourselves. Clothe ourselves in what? Righteousness, holiness, maybe? Mm-hmm. We come in from the world slopping around. We cursed a little bit today because we got angry. We gave the finger to somebody that tried to pass us by. And then we come in here to church and we expect to get fed from the Word. And, oh, I got the wrong clothes on. Huh? That the kind of clothes we've clothed ourselves in the presence of the King? This is what I was thinking. You ready with me? I'm over here now. I'm not on the screen. Okay? I'm over here. You walk in, and right here, where the pulpit is a throne. Big throne. And above it is this big green rainbow. Okay? And over here on this side of the church and over here on this side of the church are these big things, weird looking. Got cow's feet and multi-heads and huge wings. And then when they sound like helicopters, Tony. They sound like helicopters. So you come in here so it's really loud. Because these wings, and they're going, they sound like helicopters because they're huge and they're big, giant things. And it's noisy. And they're going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And there they are, big one. And there's not just one, there's several of them. And they're making these loud noises. And they got four heads so they can do it in harmony at once. Okay? And here they are. And I've never heard of what an eagle, I don't know what an eagle sounds like when he says, but anyway, if you can imagine. So there they are saying this thing, and there's this throne, and there's fire. Big flames coming up like this, you see. And lightning coming out like that. And all these elders, you know, you got Daniel and Job and all these guys, whoever the elders are, they're just bowing down. Oh, and here it is, going off. Like atom bombs in the church, okay? How would we come in? Oh, hey, Mark, how you doing? It's good to see you. You know how things going at work, huh? Things tough, kind of tough, huh? What's going on over there? I don't know. I don't pay any attention to it. How things at work? I mean, that's what's important, right? How would we come in if we actually thought God was here? And worse than that, that he expected to be fed first. And he was looking to see what kind of clothes we were wearing, Tone. How would we come in? Hey, bro, good to see you. How's it going? Oh, you hungry? Yeah, give me a minute. I don't get to see these people too often, okay? Let me talk to them. I'll get to you later. That's the way we talk to them, right? I don't think so either. And serve me until I have eaten and drunk. What does he eat? And what does he drink? Do we have a clue? Do we have a foggy notion? What does he eat? What are you going to serve Jesus? What are you going to serve God Almighty, the consuming fire? I didn't know fires ate. You remember when the children of Israel used to come to the tabernacle? They had somewhat of a physical representation of what was going on. Okay? And when they show up to the temple thing, they come in there and they get there and Yaakov would look over to Elizabeth and say, okay, honey, where's the sacrifice? I don't know. My pockets are empty. Didn't you bring? I didn't bring anything. You didn't bring anything. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. God don't mind, right? Did they even bother showing up if they didn't bring a sacrifice? You know what I'm saying? And yet we come Hear me. It's where we're at. It's not evil. In a sense, it would be evil if we knew better, but we don't. We come to this point. We're coming to the place where we actually like to see each other. We really are glad to see each other. And we share with one another, and that's good. And God wants that. Believe me. He wants that. But there's a little issue. There's just a little issue. And that God is here. And He has expectations. And what are our expectations? You see, after He's eaten and drunk, then we can have some. Can you imagine if we get what we get and we don't even give Him what He's looking for, what would happen if He got what He was looking for? I think, Benny, that as we'll pray about this, if we can change our expectations as we assemble. And I'm looking to you guys, you Tuesday guys. It don't take many of us, really. It only took one Daniel in the whole world empire. Changed everything. One Daniel. He represented the world power of that day. He was in that empire. And because of that one man, Daniel, all of the affairs of mankind were affected by one man, Daniel. It doesn't take many of us. But if any of us can get a hold of this idea of an expectation and seek God to where when we come, we have a different expectation. We had a girl come in tonight. She comes from time to time. I think she lives in the neighborhood. I don't think she's a street girl. What was her expectation, I wonder? We didn't answer the question. What does God eat? Let's hold that in our... Let's hold that. Luke 12, I have another scripture. Let me see what it is and why I have it. Okay, I don't want you to go there yet. This is what Pastor Jack spoke on. Mind you, I already had these notes. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. You should know that one. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and enters and hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. He had a very interesting way of putting it. You know how when you go into a motel room, a lot of times your room's adjoining another room and you have that door there? And when kids do this always, you know. What's the door for? You open it up. Oh, it's another door. That one doesn't open up. It's that way by design, of course, so they can have privacy. Okay? It can only be opened from that side. Okay? And that's what Pastor was saying. Pastor Jack was saying, that's very much like the door of our heart. You see, we got this two-sided door, and the outside door, he's opened up, and he's saying, I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. The other door, it can only open from that side. Only you and I can open the door. He's knocking. Now, what Pastor Jack told us, Tony, is that the Lord is knocking at the door. That should not be news to us. We've been hearing that for a while. The Lord is knocking at the door. He has some great new thing He wants to do in His church, and we don't have an expectation for it. And He wanted to get us to have an expectation for it, okay? That was His whole word, to have us to have an expectation that God is knocking at the door. He has a new thing He wants to do, and He wants us to open the door because He wants to do a new thing. We heard that before, Mark? Maybe for 30 years? Okay. And so now, if He comes in, He's going to do what? And I will come in and will dine with him and he with me. Who does the dining first? I will dine with him. Okay. Who gets fed first? Okay. We have to come prepared in the proper clothing to serve him first, right? And then he will serve us. Okay? And then so, we're back to that question. What do we feed him? And here I have this verse for you in Revelation chapter 5. It says, verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom, might, honor and blessing, glory and blessing." Now, how do you give power to Jesus? How do you give power to Jesus? Yes?
By putting him first and letting him rule in your heart.
Yes, that's part of the way. Anything else? I heard a lot of little comments. What else? Connie, you had something to say. What? When you praise him. Okay. Anything else?
Being obedient. And
being obedient. Be obedient. I think that's key, being obedient. Okay, these other things are part of that. But they must of necessity come to the point of obedience. Okay? Because he's looking for something. He's expecting to be fed. He's looking for something. In other words, if we come here with the expectation that God is going to meet with us and speak to us, then if he does say something, what do you think his expectation is? They will go do it. Now, if he's saying, "I want to do a new thing. I want the supernatural to begin to be manifest among my people," what do you think his expectation is? Mark?
We'll be ready to handle it, I guess I'll say. And that's a pretty wide range. In prayer, humble, obedient, and if he does give us that, it won't go to our head. Be great ones. You know, the whole range.
The whole range. And underlying all of that is the expectation of what?
He'll do it.
It'll happen. Precisely. Precisely. See, this is different than before. Because in the past, God gave gifts to men in years past, and he just did it sovereignly. He just did it. I mean, I've heard stories, and then I've heard personal stories. I know one fellow who told me, not me personally, but the people that I was with told me, and then I heard it several times. He was an orphan boy. And at the age of 14, God came to the orphan boy and told him, "Whoever you lay your hands on is going to be healed." Now, how would you like that as a 14-year-old orphan boy? And guess what? People got healed. Okay, people got healed. He's got war chests of braces and wheelchairs and stuff that were no longer necessary because when he laid hands on those people, they got healed. And I've heard another. I didn't hear him personally because he may have been alive while I was alive, but I never did meet with him because our group didn't believe in those sort of things when I was a young boy. But I heard about Branham that an angel came to him and spoke to him. And I've read stories about others like Smith Wigglesworth and others. And God just came to them and just sovereignly gave them a gift. Well, that was neat. Wonderful things happened, but most of them got off sideways. And God's not doing that this time. He's preparing a people. He's preparing a people. Because this time he's preparing to give them the power of the age to come. And like Mark says, we can't have people that like John and James who said, "Oh, they don't like the way we preach. Let's bring fire down out of heaven and burn them up, Jesus." They disagree with us. And Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." Okay? He didn't say you can't bring fire down. He said you don't know what spirit you're of. It's like me thinking, ah, yes, Bundy, burn him! And God says, I'm not like you, Stan. He's training us. He's teaching us. He's preparing us so that we can bear the glory of the kingdom to come. Because there's going to be a witness born. There are going to be people who will call fire down out of heaven. But they won't do it maliciously. I don't know how it'll happen. And people will get hurt too, by the way. People will get hurt. But they'll know that it's God's purpose and His will, and they'll do it. Because they won't be moved by the faces of men. They'll be moved by God. And you've got to be hearing God, Tony, to be able to call fire down out of heaven on a city. Or cause rain not to rain on people. Or to know how to vote in the coming election. You've got to be hearing from God. So, to give Him is part of what God wants from us. We give Him power. You see, God has intentionally restricted Himself so that nothing will get done on this earth except by us. He could do it sovereignly without us. But then He wouldn't need a bride. He'd be an independent. And He's intentionally made Himself dependent. And in so doing, if we don't do His will on the earth, it doesn't get done. So when we do His will on the earth, we give Him power. We give Him wisdom. Not that He needs power or wisdom. He has that. But we give it to Him. We give Him the ability for it to happen on earth as it is in heaven when we do His will. That's what He's looking for. People who will do His will on earth as it is in heaven. Tony.
Funny you should say, not funny, but you say that the Lord needs a bride. It's like, you know, He needs a helper.
He needs a helper. He's not going to do this alone, Tony. And He chose to do that, Tony.
That's what a bride is. It's a helper.
Yeah. He chose to be this way. Now, He's given us of His body and His blood. He's given us of the Word. He's given us of His Holy Spirit. He's given us apostles and prophets. He's given us the Word in both the written Word and the spoken Word. He's given us everything we need to carry out His will.
That's right.
And now He's giving us the current Word. The current Word. Because we know that Jesus did not operate by principle. How do we know that Jesus did not operate by principle? Do you know what I mean by operating by principle? This is a principle of the kingdom. Is there anybody sick in the kingdom? No, nobody's sick in the kingdom, right? Well, then, obviously, the principle is that all sickness should be dealt with and should be healed, right? How do we know that Jesus did not operate by principle? He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. But how do we have a visible? Remember show and tell. How do we have a visible?
The one guy He healed at the pool of Siloam.
Precisely, Mark. I knew you'd figure it out. There was a lot of other people at the pool.
Better word than principle is rule. People who just follow rules.
Rules. Right. It's a principle. You'll notice, though, in a lot of teaching that they don't use the word rules. They use the word principles because that's much more acceptable. That's politically correct Christian talk, Christianese, okay? Principles. But rules don't sound cool. People don't use the word rules because it sounds too much like law. We're not under law, da-da-da-da-da. Okay? Principle. We know that Jesus did not heal people by the principle of all people who are sick should be healed because there were many people at that pool who were sick, and for them, He let them wait for the angel. But the one guy he healed. Why this the one guy? How? And not all the other guys who were waiting for the angel. Why just the one guy? We can only conclude, since he said, I do what the Father tells me. Is that the only one the Father told him to heal? I mean, didn't he say, I only do what the Father, I do what the Father tells me. And if he only healed one guy, what can we conclude if he did what he said? The Father told him to heal that guy and didn't say squat about anybody else. Okay, we can't operate by principle. We must operate on His spoken word. We must live by every word that is proceeding. Not every word that has proceeded, but every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. We have to be at that place of fellowship with Him that we know what He's saying. That's what I'm saying. Jesus knew what the Father was going to do. Jesus can't multiply bread any more than you can, Tony. He can't multiply bread any more than you can. He said as much. I can, of my own self, do nothing. I can't multiply bread. I can't walk on water. I can't heal the sick. It's the Father in me doing those things. What have we been reading about in John? What does God want to do? If we love Him, we keep His commandments. And if we keep His commandments, He will love us. And what will happen? We'll abide in Him. But what does the verse particularly say? I think it's John 14:22 or 23. He'll come to us. That's what I wanted to talk about tonight. Jesus said, I don't remember what verse that is, but it's also in John 14, and I just blew by it last week, and I have to come back. Because we went past it, and I have to come back. Because we need to get a hold of this. Where is John? And we, who's we? Look at the verse. Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we, who's we? Jesus and the Father. You see, He's given us the Holy Spirit. We can't be saved. We can't come to God without the Holy Spirit. We can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. That's what He told Nicodemus. It's the subject of the Spirit. Okay? So we have a portion, a down payment, a guarantee that there's more to come.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay? What more is there to come? I hear.
Father and Son.
We will come to Him and make our abode in Him. This is the thing that I want us to get a hold of so that it'll change our expectation. All right, now I think you have to go back some. Back it up, scroll the other way. Around 14, I think it is. No, that's not the one. Hey, hold still, 18. 18. I want us to get a hold of this. Lord, help us. I want us to get a hold of this. I want us to have this expectation. I want us to live as if this is true. It's amazing to me. Pastor's always stealing my thunder. Actually, he's not. And I'm not really stealing his. It's just that we often talk about the same thing at the same time. And it's because God is trying to tell us something. Anybody been getting the daily word lately? It's all John. He's saying the same thing, only he does a whole lot better job of it than I do. But anyway, okay, this is what he's been telling us, and this is what God wants to tell us, and this is what God is saying to us. This is the expectation I want us to get a hold of, okay? I want us to get a hold of this expectation. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to stick you down there and hope you manage. I'll give you my Holy Spirit. That's cool. You can have my Holy Spirit. He'll help you. But as for me and the dad, we're up in heaven cooling our heels because it's safe up here. What's he saying? What's he saying there, Tony? What's the second half of that verse? What's he saying? I can't hear you. I will what? Come to you. I want us to say this loud enough to where it sinks in somewhere. Stand at the door and knock. What I want us to try, if the words that I'm saying are spirit and truth, then I want them to go into our hearts, not to bounce around the room like the pinball machine. And I'm hoping that we will take these words and go home and say, God, are you saying that? Because if he is, then we should have a different expectation. Benny, the secret to ask me anything in my name and I'll do it is that he comes to us. It's on the basis of our relationship with him. Because when he comes to us, we'll know what to ask. I've been praying about this for years. And just recently, it stood out in my mind as I saw this. It's the whole reason why I'm studying this with you. Is because I believe that God is saying very clearly to us, night now, I've come, open up the door. Expect that I'm here. Look for me. Listen for me. Make room in your heart for me. Stop thinking about all this other stuff. Stop concentrating on all these other things. Do whatever necessary to get to do my will and live in the earth and take care of you and yours. But primarily, be focused. I am here. That's different, Mark, than all these other years. All these other years I've been here, I've been praying, when is he going to come? When is he going to come? Oh, Lord, come. We've been praying. I wrote songs. Come. Like pastor. Praying, Lord, should we go? Should we go? And finally he sees the angel and he realizes, he's not waiting. I'm not waiting for him anymore. He's waiting for me. Now, I know some of you are going to take what I'm saying to heart because you have in the past and you will again. And I thank you. Pray. Pray. Pray like you haven't prayed before because, Tony, I'm not sure, but that if this passes us by, we get another chance. Now, I don't want to lay trips on people, and pastors always said, you know, okay, whatever. But I don't think the Lord is, I think he's serious about this, and I think we can miss, okay? I think we can miss. And here's the secret about missing. He'll give you gifts and send you on your way, and you won't know you missed it. He's kind. He'll give you gifts, and you'll be so excited about your toys that you won't know that you got toys and not him. Until the day of judgment. And you're still in your grave while the others are popping up. And you go, oh my gosh. I'm still in my grave. I'm still in my grave. He didn't call my name. I don't want to be there. I will come to you. I think that's what he's saying to us. And I think Jack Hayford confirmed it. Now, that's pretty good. The word Stan the mouse and Jack Hayford the elephant. Nobody's impressed. I think that's what he's saying to us. Neat of you to arrive at the right time, huh? I think the Lord is here. Not like we've known before. And believe me, it's not like a Pentecostal experience, Benny. I asked the Lord about that. And the Lord was very quick to respond, I am not going backwards. We're not going back to Pentecost, saints. We're moving into the most holy place. We're moving into kingdom power, Tony. We're moving into the witness that will be born in the end time. And it's different kind of witness. It's a different kind of miracles. Yes, I expect people to be raised from the dead. Yes, I expect blind to see and deaf to hear and legs to grow. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for it. As another thing I'm expecting too, and I need you to be prepared for it. Demons need to get cast out. They come and go in this church. Most of us don't know when they're here and when they leave. And we need to be living such that when they do come, they cry out. And then we need to know what to do with them when they do. And if any of you have had any real experience with it, it can be messy business. I'm not talking about the puking stuff. That may or may not happen. I don't know. I haven't seen any of that, actually. But I have dealt with demons, and they don't just leave because you tell them. Now, what happened to the demoniac? Jesus was telling him to leave, and he wasn't. Why not? Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" Right? He wouldn't get an action. What is your name? And what was the response? Legion. I don't have a name. There's a bunch of us. Okay? There is a struggle when it comes to the demonic. We're not ready for it, saints, but we need to get ready. We need to gird up our loins, Benny. I'm looking to you guys. Tony, Ron, I'm looking to us. You're not here on Sundays, but you're here on Tuesdays. I'm looking to us. Now, we have to be sober for the purpose of prayer. Because our visitor tonight might have needed some demons cast out. And one of these days, we're going to have to be prepared to deal with it. And it's going to take up our whole time. And it may not be pretty, but it may bring glorious results. She keeps coming. The demoniac with the legion threw himself down at Jesus' feet. Despite the fact they had thousands of demons in him, he still worshipped Jesus. He threw himself down at Jesus' feet because something deep down in there knew this guy can save me. That's why the girl keeps coming. One of these days we're going to be prepared to deal with it. But until we are, we're not going to get into it because it isn't going to be pretty. And we're going to know what to do because it says if the house is all clean and swept and it's not filled with the right kind of things, it'll just get worse. Well, I'm not looking forward to doing that to anybody. So we have to be prepared to take people under our wings and nurture them till they know how to fill their house with righteousness and holiness so that they won't come back. It's here, Mark. Wait no longer. Pray and see if God will confirm it. Well, I didn't get a whole lot to my, but I did get to my one verse that I wanted to say. I will come to you. Okay? That was his promise. Well, Ronnie, I think he's fulfilling it today. Lord, we look to you. You said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will. Now, this is will, Lord. That means that, I don't know. I don't know if it's will or shall. Tony could look in the Greek to know whether it's a conditional upon our response or whether it's something that you promised and you're going to do, but we might miss it. I'm not sure, Lord. I'm not sure. But of this, I believe I am sure, Lord, because Pastor Jack has confirmed it for me, my own heart and mind, and for Lisa also, Lord, that you are here. And you've come, and you're knocking on our doors, and you're saying, okay, open up. I remember Sandy saying so clearly, wake up. You're sleeping. You're in bed. I'm at the door. Get out of bed. Open up to me. I want to come in with you. I want to dine with you. I want you to feed me. and your obedience to me. And I will give you of my very body and blood. I will give you of all of my substance so that you'll know precisely what I'm doing under every circumstance. Lord, I want to live there so that I know what you're doing under every circumstance. I'm not left in this foggy gray zone trying to live by principle. I want to live by every word that's proceeding out of your mouth, Lord. And I want to be there feeding you and eating, feeding you and eating, feeding you and eating, constantly feeding one another. So that when you speak, I obey right away, whatever it is, I obey. I do it. Tom-toms. Okay, you got it, Lord. It doesn't matter. Some people are going to run out of the church. Fine, let them run out of the church. But tom-toms, God said, tom-toms, we're going to get. Obedient. The man with the talents. Lord, we can't hide the talents. We can't hide it, Lord, and say, well, I was afraid I might go wrong. I might be off the wall. I might go into excess. I might be in deception. So I hid it. I'm going to have to start walking on some water, Lord. We're going to have an expectation that when we walk on water, we'll walk on water and not sink. That when we get together, you'll be here. So, Lord, I pray for each one that's here. They take the word that's entered our hearts, Lord. Bring it to life. You water it. You water it, Lord. You bring it to life. You nurture it, Lord. If this is your word, then, Lord, you take it and you stir up every heart that's here tonight. You stir every heart, Lord, so that we can't go away from it. We can't dismiss it. We can't go on our way and get back in the groove and forget about what we've heard, Lord. I pray that you would take it. If it is your word, Lord, if it's your word and you want us to hear it, then I pray you would cause it to burn in every one of our hearts until we begin to nurture it, until it begins to bear fruit in our lives, Lord, until we begin to live as if what you're saying is true. And we have an expectation that you are here and that you are inviting us into the supernatural. You are inviting us out of the ordinary. You are inviting us into the totally impossible so that we live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And not by our senses or our thoughts or our principles or any other thing, Lord, but by what you're telling us moment by moment. Grant life to us, Lord. Grant hope. Grant joy. Grant sleep tonight, Lord. Wake us in the morning, Lord, with your voice. Cause us to recognize he's here. Help us to hear that voice, Lord. It's still, it's small, Lord. It's easy to be choked out, Lord. It's easy to be lost in the cacophony of sounds from everyday life. Give us ears to hear that voice, Lord, as you stand there and you knock. You're not beating our door down, Lord, but you are knocking. Give us ears to hear and grace to get up and open the door. In Jesus' name, amen.